You've just landed inside Launch Street, the innovation podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate and differentiate and get further faster in this crazy cluttered world. And now, innovation thought leader and your super fly host, Tamara Kleinberg.
Drop in more value bombs here on Launch Street, my people. Hey, what's up? Tamara here. Interesting interview this week. So my guest and I talked about how great innovators truly see the world around them. And I don't mean just observe it. I don't mean go with the flow. I mean actually have their eyes open, see it, and engage with it, and how they do that and how you can make sure that you're doing that too. We also dug into mind shifts and mind perspectives, and she's got this amazing story about being on the street in Europe and how she just changed her mind and her perspective and the whole thing changed. I'm going to let her give you the details, but it's really good stuff. You know, the last thing we talked about that I thought was of value to, you know, all of us on Launch Street was we talked about happiness, and not in the fluffy way of, oh, yay, let's all be cheery all the time, but how do you make it a solid state that comes from within? And she's got this one question that she always asks in every situation, especially when things aren't going her way, that gets her to that place and to see the value in what just happened. I'm going to let her share with you. It's so good. Her name is Maura Sweeney. She is an author, podcaster, Huffington Post contributor, international speaker, ambassador of happiness, and thought leader. She helps individuals find their voice and entrepreneurs develop their brands and leaders emerge in their most brilliant selves. I think you're going to hear all of that in our conversation. The other thing I really appreciate about her is she's got a whole varied background. So she's a former decorated corporate manager, business co-owner, and homeschooling mom. And now she would say that her current chapter is about advancing the human race. So super interesting woman. Think you're going to get a ton out of this. Buckle up. So Maura, I'm so looking forward to this conversation. Thank you for being here.
Tamara, thank you for having me here. Or Tamara, right? I got to remember that. Tamara. Thanks for having me, because I have a feeling we've got such similar energy.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. So let's start with telling the listeners, how did you get obsessed with this idea of influence and leadership, in particular that in terms of, you know, no matter what your title is or who you are?
You know, I could even go all the way back to childhood. I remember John F. Kennedy in the White House when I was a really little girl. And I looked at how our White House had this great influence. It wasn't just the president. It was Jackie. It was the kids. It was where people were looking to our White House and looking to our nation. And we were looking out and everybody was involved. And that, even though I was a preschooler, that had such a huge impact on the way I viewed the world. They were such an expansionist, positive feeling for not only today, but also for tomorrow. I could tell you beyond that, when I was in third grade, I remember picking up my first ever biography in the fifth grade library. I read through every single book, and I remember being so disappointed when the last one was done, because I love the stories of people who were innovators, who were change agents, who were people that managed to find their own way through a challenge, and in so doing, set the world on a place where others behind them and around them could enjoy a higher level of existence. And whether that meant in, you know, in politics, in statesmanship, or in social development, or in sciences. And I've been that way since I was little. I just have this thing about great leaders, but I don't mean just leaders that go out and say, look at me. I'm talking about leaders who are so inspirational that what they do is create a new place for people to say, oh, here's our new starting point. Let's keep going. And I'm magnetized by that. And always have been.
So you read all these books. I love that you were reading them when you were in third grade, but it was in the fifth grade library, I'm sure.
Little nerd.
Here comes Maura again. Great. Yes. But how do you take those lessons about, you know, how they're so inspiring, or they drive people to action, or, you know, whatever else you learned? How do I then, as someone who's, you know, I'm either low on the totem pole, or I'm working out of my house because I've started my own business, how do I take that and translate that and make it work for me?
You know, what an excellent question, and how relatable, because not everybody's president of the United States, right?
Okay. I mean, I don't want that job right now.
No, honest, nobody, but, yeah. I don't think anybody does. But Yeah, that's right. I said, I gave you a mouthful right there, unintentionally so. But here's why the question is so good. It's because the majority of us are not president. The majority of us don't have the title. And this will go right back to what I noticed and picked up in those early readings, is that when you read a biography, and when I read them, they all started out as little children, and they all started out in a circumstance that proved to be a challenge. It was a personal challenge. Sometimes it was a physical challenge. Sometimes it was a social, economic, educational, cultural challenge. And these young people would have to, during the course of their lifetime, find a way, pave the path, and innovate their way, oftentimes through challenges, until they overcame their own hurdles in life. And so what does that mean? That means the same for every single one of us. No matter where we are, we could either say, you know what, too bad, I'm not the person in charge, I have no power. Or they could say, you know what, I know what it looks like, but the fact that I have a challenge gives me the proof that there's got to be a solution. And unless you see yourself as an innovator, and rather than a victim, because a victim, what you've essentially done is you've closed up shop and you've gone home and hidden in a closet, right? You've given up hope, and your mind is not going to be open to receiving any new ideas. But if you say to yourself, you know what, I have a challenge here. This must mean I have a place to grow. There is something literally in front of me that's vying for my attention and vying for my soul to step up, step out, and literally step through this thing. And that's how I picked that up from early childhood readings. And that is something that every one of us can employ wherever we are, personal life, business life, any situation we're in. It's a mindset.
Do you think, you said something earlier that you kind of brushed through, I should say, really quickly, but I think it's really important for launch readers. You said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's, you know, you as that leader, the ones that you were learning about, had paved the way for other people to do great things or to find their new starting point. Do you think a lot of being a great influencer is about thinking about what's the impact on other people? Does it happen naturally? Like, why is that part of it so important?
So let me tell you, if you asked me this question 10 years ago, I'd say, of course it happens naturally. Everybody thinks about other people. Tamara, I really did think most people saw the world around them, that everywhere they went, that they understood they were one person among a community of people, and that they could see and interact with their neighbor in a way that was, let's say, evolved. And in the past 10 years, because I put myself in a brand new environment, one where, let's say, I wasn't the leader, I wasn't recognized, I thought, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. People are not paying attention. They do, in a way, what works for them in the moment. It's the quick and easy and dirty way. And it does not think long term. It doesn't think broadly. And it doesn't say, you're my neighbor, you're my brother, you're my sister, we're going to come around again. This may come back on me. How can I make this a win-win positive situation? And I honestly did not know. Every time in my past, and I spent about a decade in corporate America, in management, my husband and I had our own company as well. But until I found myself as one of those people who was out there like the so-called minions, I didn't realize how much people could forget about people, walk over people, not acknowledge people. And it was a real eye-opener that most people are not that evolved, but we can help them get there. And we personally can use every one of our challenges to step up and help other people see a little bit better. And we can model better in a way that maybe they could pick up some of the energy we're sending their way.
You know, this, I just want to again pause here and just say that what you're saying here is so important for those launch readers out there around your great innovators. They really do. You're so right, Maura. They see the world around them and they understand their part and how they contribute to it as well. And most people, and I think this is another lesson, wouldn't you say, about being an innovator and about influencing others, is remember, they're focused on their world and their day. So you got to work them into what you're trying to accomplish versus just assuming they're going to get it out of the gate. Because if I hear you right, they're busy doing their thing.
Exactly. It's like a sleep at the switch, or let's say if it doesn't involve me, I'm not interested. And you have to find ways to get their attention. You have to find ways to get their mind to expand, to get them engaged, to get them involved, to literally get them to tap in to maybe something within them, but also something greater than themselves. And I'll tell you, that is a very, if you could figure out how to engage with people that way, the friendships, the innovations, the I would say even the ideas that get fostered are remarkable. And so is the loyalty and the friendship.
You're so right about that. That point should not be excluded, which is the loyalty as well. Because when you're trying to do new things and be out there in the world and be an influencer and, you know, whatever your goals are, you want people who are there with you, not who are running away every time they see your phone number on their cell phone.
Exactly. And the thing is, if you're an advocate and a supporter and a collaborator, you know, with other people, then those people will be loyal to you, at least the ones that are awake. And if they're not, well, then maybe they won't get a phone call from you the second time around. But literally, if people see you as their advocate and their supporter and someone who values them and values their talents and values their ideas and gives place to them, then they naturally will gravitate back, because that what you're doing is you're actually bringing them in. You're showing them a new model. They're feeling differently. They're being lifted up. And now, instead of I'm right, you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong, or you're above me and I'm beneath you, now you have true collaboration. And there's this idea of ideas that have a free flow. For whatever reason, if you don't mind, I want to just interject something here that I thought was really interesting. I left my corporate job a long time ago, but you know, we all got on LinkedIn how many years ago, and we're reconnecting with people. So in the course of getting reconnected, a lot of people that used to work in my offices in corporate started reconnecting. And one of those had worked for me earlier. And she said to me, Maura, thank you for allowing me to make mistakes. And I read that and I thought, isn't that amazing? 20 years down the pike, this girl who's still in the same industry remembers me for that, because I helped her grow. And I thought, for me, it was nothing. I looked at all of her talents and I thought, this girl is amazing. But because I loved her talents and I gave space, she saw it through a different light. She saw that she was able to be innovative and she didn't have to be afraid to make a mistake, because it was like, okay, that didn't work. Let's try the next one. And it's very freeing and it's very energizing and empowering.
You know, it's such a big part of innovation is being okay with making mistakes. And I love that you didn't use the word failure, by the way, that you just called them mistakes, because that's what hinders innovation, isn't it? Is people feel that if it doesn't work out, they're going to get fired, moved on, lectured, pushed aside, you know, whatever it is, because it didn't work. And the reality is, and you obviously know this very well, sometimes things work and sometimes they don't. And that's just life.
Really, no kidding, right? No kidding.
I want to ask about your personas. You had mentioned that there's two personas, the victim and the beneficiary, if I've got those right. Will you share a little bit more about that and why that matters so much?
I've had a lifetime of studying this firsthand. You know, I have this in my e-course, and every time I go out and speak, this is one of the things I zero in on, because if you want to think of the human mind and how we see ourselves and how we see ourselves socially, we can come up with a gazillion problems that may come our way during the course of a day or a course of a lifetime. And you may see it as, oh, I have all these problems. But I always tell people this, whatever you're facing, you only have one decision to make, and here's what it is. Am I a victim in this, or am I a beneficiary? And if you are unwilling to answer that question first and foremost, you're probably going to see yourself as, I've got a problem and the problem's bigger than I am. But if you can see whatever you're facing, not from the vantage point or the mindset of being a victim, which means I'm this little cog in a crazy universe and I'm getting bounced around and people are going
to
kill me, shoot me, backstab me, right?
It's all happening.
Or this is here in front of me because at some level, this is all working together for good. And by the way, when I say for good and benevolence, I mean not just for me because it's my thing, but I mean for everybody. I am a benevolent person and a beneficiary in a benevolent universe. So therefore, my mind is constantly being reset with whatever comes my way to, this is going to work out for good. And I'm telling you, it may not happen like in the moment. It may not happen that afternoon or that week or that month. But I'm telling you, I could look at so many issues in my life and in so many arenas. And I also study other people's lives too. And that's what it is. You expect to be a beneficiary and there's always something good to come out of it. But if you see yourself as a victim, guess what? It's almost like you're writing your future. Oh, this isn't going to work out well. And there goes the energy, and there goes the ideas, and there goes the enthusiasm, and there goes the success.
You know, I just wrote it down. It's such a powerful question to ask on the big and I think in the small things too. Am I a victim or am I a beneficiary in this? So launch readers, I hope you're writing that one down and putting it in your memory. I'm going to start doing that because I will tell you more. That just totally hit a chord with me yesterday. I was having one of those days where my technology was not working out for me. And what should have taken an hour took 8 hours. And I was so upset and so frustrated and feeling so out of control that really all I wanted to do was curl up in my bed and go back to sleep and just pretend like I didn't have to deal with any of it. But had I been able to ask myself that question, I think I would have gotten to, okay, the lesson I have here is A, have some patience. This will work out. You need to stop trying to, you know, micro control and white knuckle this. And B, you shouldn't be doing this to begin with tomorrow. This is not your expertise. You need to be hiring someone for this. And those are my lessons. I probably would have felt better. But instead, I wanted to curl up under the blankets and just be like, none of this is happening.
This is happening to me, right?
To me.
You know,
I was
so
a total victim yesterday. That's horrible.
Aren't we all at times? But you know what? I'm so glad you brought it down to the daily routines that we go through. Because my husband, I work in the house. My husband, you know, I'm the ambassador of happiness. Like there are days I'll say, Maura, you are not the ambassador. Get out the door. Go talk to somebody. I had my own meltdown the other day. And mine was stuff I was doing in an admin setting at my computer. And I'm telling you, I know what I like. I know what my strengths are. And I was too much, too long doing something that was going nowhere, just like you were.
That was me yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Mine just happened a few days earlier. But here's what I even want to offer some of the Launch Street listeners. You know, you could say to yourself, all right, let me just stop right here and now. Am I a beneficiary? Am I seeing myself as beneficiary or a victim? That's the first thing. And if you switch over and make that choice, you've already gone from falling on the floor to at least choosing to stand up. But beyond that, you know what you said? I need to walk away from it. I need to drop it. I need to change my focus. Even if it's just for a couple of minutes, I remember the days I had my corporate jobs. I was always like the sandwich person between our corporate offices, wherever they were, and the office that I was in, the branch office I was running, or somebody that was coming to me with an issue. And I remember a couple of times I would go behind my door. It could have been before a meeting. It could have been before I was going to take a phone call or make a phone call. I would literally go behind my door and I would just reposition my thoughts. And whether that meant like say a prayer or just say, I remember something that was really good so that before I picked up the phone, before I walked into that office to, you know, to give a meeting, I had already repositioned my thoughts and then my emotions and my intentions. And I'm telling you, when you do that, it's the energy that comes forth of you. It's not just always what you say, but it's how you say it. It's the energy and the atmosphere that you're conveying. And talk about influence, that goes so far. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, you ever see somebody who walks into a room and everybody feels like, oh my gosh, things were good until this person walked in. Now we just, you know, but then there's the other type personality. When we as individuals choose not to pick up the bait, not to pick up something negative, not to let somebody's negative remark or some bad report ruin our day, but we take that little bit of time and reposition ourselves, we can undo that feeling of being the victim and actually become a change agent for something good. Even if it means that something good is around a boss or someone who we perceive, maybe it's a big client. It could be an idea we can't figure out. We literally become the conduit to positive change.
You know, I love it. I wish I'd talked to you, 48 hours earlier, because yesterday was a total victim day. I'm just going to own it. It is what it is. But, you know, what's interesting about it, too, is you're sharing that story is it's not only did I get super frustrated and I was just mad and feeling out of control and like things were being done to me, but it sucked the innovation out of me. So the other things I needed to get done that I needed that mental space for, I didn't have. And what I hear you saying is if you can get yourself into that beneficiary mindset, you can get that innovation, that space for influence and leadership and innovation back in your control as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't just say this because I'm saying it. I say it because I implemented it in a corporate world. I've done it personally. I've done it socially. I've done it in volunteer settings. It is something I've practiced over and over again. There's another thing. Were you saying it saps our energy? Here's another thing that was coming right to me. It saps our life. If there's a life force inside of us that comes and it's a light and it's And it's that innovation, that literally that light bulb of innovation. If we see ourselves as a victim, if we're getting all distraught and then we start going into negativity, then we start to like pile on the guilt and the mental baggage. What we've done in those situations, especially when we keep working at them without at least for a moment stepping away from them, physically, mentally, whatever, is that they suck the lifeblood out of us, and it makes everything hard. I kid you not, I've lived through it.
That's exactly it. It makes everything else hard. Why do that to yourself? And you know, it's kind of funny, Maura, because I am the first to point out other people's victim mentality. It drives me crazy. It's one of my pet peeves, but I don't always realize it when I'm doing it. So for those listening, I would encourage you deeply to just catch yourself too, if it's one of your pet peeves, because I think we all do it a little bit. Now, a couple things that you kind of were underlying what you hinted out that, so, oh my God, I'm going to edit that little line out because I don't know what I just did with my, I was like saying two sentences at once. Let me try that again. Underneath what you were just saying was this current of happiness and the importance of bringing that, I don't know if it's, you want to call it an attitude or a mood to the table. Mm-hmm. Will you talk a little bit about what that happiness is? And, you know, part of the reason I'm asking is, I love people who are optimistic, happy, who have that right frame of mind. I go crazy from people who are overly cheery, who seem to like deny reality. Do you know who I'm talking about? They come in and you're like, oh my God, what are they hiding under the surface?
Yes. So
before we kind of dig into the value of it, will you break down what you really mean by that so that, you know, the listeners aren't out there going, oh God, another cheery person who smiles when like, you know, things are not good.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, when people see people like that, they don't take them seriously. They really
exactly,
don't. And oftentimes
exactly right.
They're delirious. But
well,
here's
just
what I
wonder: like, what world are you living in?
I know it. What did you drink? Okay, here's, and you know what? This is very interesting. When people hear happiness and the fact that I speak about happiness, I think sometimes they may think the same thing: is she going to come in a pink dress and throw around fairy dust? And then I open my mouth and they say like, okay, this lady's for real. This is what I would say: the difference is there's a momentary and fleeting feeling of happiness, but it's always going to be dependent upon something external. Oh, somebody looked at me. Oh, I got an invitation to go out to dinner. Oh, I just bought something new, right? That is happiness as most people think of it. I would say that is extremely superficial. When I'm talking about happiness, this is what I'm talking about. It's a state of mind, one that is often chosen repeatedly as if it becomes a discipline. Happiness is a state of being and it's a state of presence. And it's literally something that is practiced so that you end up, you know, a lot of us will go on diets so we learn how to eat the right things, or we'll go work out. Okay, we're always going to exercise our bodies. But do you know how few people are willing to exercise their mindsets, their emotional constitution? Very few people, and they're not even aware of it. But that's what I consider happiness. It's a state of being, and it's a very solid one, not easily moved by somebody either liking you or cutting you off on the highway.
Oh, that's interesting. So the state of happiness, I love how you said it's solid. So it's not impacted by that one person who looked at me the wrong way, or the one negative comment I got in the keynote, even though 1,000 other people loved it. Or, you know, all those external things that they're like arrows that just kind of are thrown at you all day.
And if you live in that space without becoming disciplined and making that ongoing choice, because it is, you will always be, you know, falling apart every time something doesn't go your way.
So how does happiness impact your success or your chances of it?
Well, we talked, first of all, about the fact that when we're not happy, or we're not in the right environment, or we're not positive, it takes away our power. It takes away our energy and sucks the lifeblood out of it. But I would say the opposite of it is this. When we're in the right state of mind and we are happy, our energy level goes up. And when our energy is up, our inspiration goes up. When our inspiration is up, then our success is more likely. Yeah, I'd want to give you just an example of something. Earlier this week, I met with a client and we spent some time talking about personal things. And what she really was interested in was, she didn't feel inspired over the past few years about what she can do next. And she was plotting her next thing and really wanted to be in some kind of an entrepreneurial capacity. We literally had a conversation that went from some of the physical things, like challenges she was working through, all of a sudden to the arena of, what do you like? What are those things you used to do when you were a kid? What were some of your happy moments? And within the next half hour, 45 minutes, we were able to put together a brand new inspired idea that she came up with, and we just built out based on things that made her happy for a separate business that could be expanded upon. The energy that came out of that, I think by the time this woman walked away, she forgot she had any physical ailments. And I kid you not, the energy when you start focusing in on ideas and what it is that makes you happy, it's like, I've had people leave me and they say, oh my gosh, Maura, you've given me so many ideas. I'm almost exhausted thinking of them because they go on and on and on. And there is literally this light that continues to shine brightly. And then when you add it to other people's, it becomes like lights beaming off one another and almost picking up on other people's inspiration and building upon that. It's very creative and it's very uplifting.
You know, I think there's this big myth out there that in order to be, you know, creative or innovative, you have to be that, you know, tortured artist with all the baggage and unhappiness and manic depression and all that stuff to, you know, be truly innovative. But what I hear you saying is really the opposite, and that happiness and that solid state of mind, as you define it, being an internal thing, actually can get you into that innovative space in a much better way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if I could share this with you and your listeners today, if you were to ever go to my website and look up the page that says About Maura, there's a picture of me when I was midway through law school. You know how many years ago? It was decades ago. I was only 23. You look at my face and you read me and you will see a person that has no energy, no sense of presence, and has no confidence. And there I was midway through law school doing what I was supposed to do. I had zero energy because I was in a space that wasn't mine to call home. You look at me in the picture right beside it, decades later, and I'm doing what I love and I'm living out of that creative space that I call mine. And it's like, what happened? It's a completely different person, literally changed from the inside out. So I know what it's like to feel like you're really heavy and everything's hard. And that's how law school felt, because I didn't love it and I couldn't relate. But move, you know, sometimes all you have to do is move yourself a few degrees over into something you do like, something you do connect with. And all of a sudden, it's like a well springs up and there's so much more energy and so much more creativity that comes out.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's like having a wellspring of innovation or being in quicksand and feeling like you're sinking and trying to get out and not going anywhere, which is horrible. You know, I took your course. So you have this incredible e-course online, which I would encourage, we'll put a link in the notes. I would encourage everyone to go check out. There was one lesson in video and perspective in particular that really spoke to me, and it was the one around perspective. And, you know, just high level, the lesson was around to shift your perspective. To shift it in your mind in order to shift it into the world. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about that. And I just have to say that as I was watching it, the thing that really spoke to me about it was, so you're talking, you're on camera, you're on what looks like a walking boulevard, and it looks pretty empty, like there's kind of no one. And you start talking about shifting your mind to shift your perspective. And as you turn and the camera goes the other direction, suddenly there's this bustling street behind you. And I was like, oh my God, I wouldn't have even known those people were there, because her other direction looked totally desolate. So will you just talk a little bit about that lesson about shifting your perspective? Because I thought that was so horrible.
I'm so glad. You know how crazy I'm thinking, okay, I did over 200 videos. Which one is she talking about? Because I always deal with this, you know, the theater of the mind. I was in The Hague and all by myself on probably a business trip. And I saw that the trees in this long boulevard really quiet. And then I looked somewhere else and there were people on their bikes. And I thought, wow, totally different. I found a nice, it was a university student, and I pulled her over and I said, could you do me a favor? I said, I want to do a really quick video. Would you take a picture of me? Now, this is innovation. I get inspired in the moment and I recruit.
I was wondering, by the way, I was like, how did she do the video? She doesn't look like her hands are out.
I know it. It's funny, but I love people. I love connecting with people. So it was great. Anyway, what I did is I started telling the story about how things look, and I wanted to draw attention to what's in our mind. And I thought, what a great way to do it. This person could get me filming with one backdrop. And then I said to her, as I turn, I want you to turn with me. And by the end of that very brief video, you are seeing the exact same area, but from a completely different perspective. And that's what goes on in our minds. That's the mind that says, oh, you know what? There's nothing here. Or, oh, there's everything here. I'm a victim. Or, oh my gosh, I am such a beneficiary. I can't believe I'm loaded with creative ideas. The thing is, what are we going to put as the backdrop of our mind? And we have to constantly remind ourselves that our mind and everything in it is just loaded with these unfathomable ideas. If only we would remind ourselves. And as we do, we kind of like re-energize ourselves. We have this new sense of expectation. We literally feel different. And then guess what happens? We end up getting these new ideas that just hit our heads or just drop into our minds. And it happens over and over and over again. But maybe most people don't realize it. I just want people to understand and make that connection, because they could really go from, oh, poor me, life always happens to me, things never go right, to, oh my gosh, I have such power within me to change the way I perceive my life, and therefore to change the experience of my life.
Nothing here or everything here. And you are so right. Whichever one you think is true is true.
It is. Especially if you think it on a long-term basis, you end up getting what you thought.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I love that video, is exactly that. That pan just completely brought to life exactly what you were saying around, if you shift your perspective in your mind, you can shift everything else. I mean, I was totally shocked when it was suddenly this bustling street corner in the background. I was like, wait, hold on. Where did that even come from? That wasn't there a minute ago.
And it was just there. Same place, but it's how we are choosing to look at anything. Is it our boss? Is it a salute? Is it a problem at work we can't figure out? It's like, stand up, drop it the way you're seeing it. Literally drop it. I've had to do that so many times. Walk away, pretend it doesn't exist, and then pick it up. It could be 5 minutes or a half hour later, and all of a sudden it represents in a completely new way.
So what are some easy to implement ways that our listeners can do that when they're in that moment, when they're facing a challenge or dealing with, you know, a struggle of some kind, and they're in that there's nothing here moment? How do you get from there's nothing here to there's everything here?
Well, sometimes you could get up from the chair you're in, walk away from the computer. You can get out and breathe some fresh air. You could do, this may sound crazy, but it's not. You could step away from the computer and turn on music and dance for 5 minutes. You could think back to the funniest joke you ever heard, the best place you've ever been in life. Call up a friend. Have a little journal handy that has some of the best and most inspiring remarks you ever thought of or read, and read them again. Because what you're doing is you're playing with your own brain, and you're becoming master of your mind rather than allowing your thoughts to play master over you. And, you know, sometimes it means go and get something to drink, go out for a walk, get on a bicycle. Everybody's got different things, seriously. And what works for one doesn't work for another. But, the idea is to do something physical, something mental, and make a new choice, and expect that after you drop that old thought and give it a chance to, like, not only drop, but sort of like fade away, so that the feeling that you were suffering from also fades away, and then step into a new place, and then you could revisit it, because you'll be revisiting it with a better attitude, a better feeling. And those feelings literally lift you up vibrationally. I mean, years ago, I couldn't have spoken in these terms. Now people talk a lot of it about that. But it literally does. You've lifted yourself into a higher vibratory signal where ideas can come and go. And when you are in a negative state, that's all you're going to get back is negativity and victimhood.
Yeah. And I like what you're saying around, it's not just about dropping the idea, but it's also about dropping that feeling physically, because it is a whole body experience. And then, while that sounds kind of fluffy and weird, when you're in that mindset, like I was yesterday, the whole body shuts down. It's everything.
I know. Just like that woman, my client that I was meeting with the other day, she went from telling me how exhausted she was at night after her corporate job to being so full of energy as we started putting together this new innovative entrepreneurial idea for her to start a new business. It was literally like black and white. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's incredible. So, you know, you talk about exiting the comfort zone. In fact, I think you wrote a book about the subject too. Will you talk a little bit about the pitfalls and the payoffs for listeners, what they can expect when they exit their comfort zones? Because I think it's one of those phrases we always, it's the big catchphrase, right? We got to step outside our comfort zones, get out of the box. But what really are the payoffs and pitfalls of doing that? Because I think for most of us, it sounds kind of scary.
It does. And that's why, you know, that's why you probably ask about the pitfalls. Here's the pitfalls. And this is where most people are going to go. They're going to go to fear. Pitfall of doing something new is all going to be based in fear, where the payoff is going to be based in something that's a benefit to you. So let me tell you the pitfalls of it. It's your ego and your pride. Oh my gosh, am I going to fall? Am I going to lose face? And by the way, the book I wrote is I have exited the comfort zone several times, but at age 50, almost age 50, I decided I was going to learn how to dance, something I wanted to do as a preschooler. And I enrolled myself in a local college, failed the course twice, almost destroyed an on-stage performance because I was so filled with fear and old baggage that told me I was that I had no coordination and that I could only be smart but not creative in my body. So what did that mean? It meant that I definitely lost face. And that's what people are afraid of. It's like, oh, you know what? I'd rather stay in my comfort zone where everybody knows me and I sound like I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm doing. I own this space. But so you could lose face. How about this one? People are afraid if they step out, maybe they'll lose some friendships. Maybe their peer group won't like them anymore. How about this one? This is a biggie. If there are people listening today that really envision something bigger for themselves, and by the way, bigger shows up in many ways. It's your bigger self. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised if you're around certain people that you instinctively and intuitively know are going to get intimidated and leave you. They will. That's a pitfall. And then, of course, it's like, am I going to lose my stuff? Am I going to lose my money, my position, my prestige if I leave my current position and go elsewhere? But on the other side of it, you're going to get more out of life. If you don't go beyond your comfort zone for something that has been gnawing at you, playing at you, talking to you in the middle of the night, you're going to end up curtailing, limiting, and literally snuffing out that potential life and that expansive experience your soul wants. So by exiting that comfort zone, you're going to go there, even though it may mean along the way that you do slip and fall, that you do make mistakes, that you don't feel like you really know your way. But at the end, you're going to feel relaxed more than you ever did before. You're going to be less uptight. You're going to feel so much more like the natural and authentic you. You're going to feel more self-actualized. I'll tell you another really big benefit. People who want to just own their own comfort zone and stay there and then kind of judge everybody else for things they don't know how to do will find after they exit their own comfort zone and slip and fall a few times that they end up with more self-confidence. They don't need to compare or compete with other people in a negative fashion because they've developed their own sense of self, a little more self-esteem. But then the other things, and this goes into emotional intelligence, when we exit our own comfort zones and we grow and we have to kind of, it's almost like being a little kid again, learning how to crawl and then walk and then run. We realize how vulnerable we are as individuals, and we end up carrying a lot more understanding in our beings for other people around us that are in the process of growing. We also end up extending more grace to other people because we see we're not always right. We don't even always do it perfectly. So we become more full of grace for others. We have a lack of judgment for people as they're growing, and then we develop a sense of humor. So, you know, I say all this because I've lived it a lot of times. You know, I'm like the lab rat myself, but these are many of the things that happen in my life. I will tell you, I have more energy, more confidence, a better sense of self, and that came from dancing. And it also launched a book series. So think about that.
So if you're out there and you're thinking, I've got this thing gnawing at me, I really want to, you know, step off my comfort mat and go somewhere new, what would you do to prepare them? What are the first things they should do to get ready? Because that first step is ultimately the hardest, I think.
I agree. And you know, comfort zones will show up everywhere, socially, intellectually. It doesn't matter, skill-wise. Here, I am one of those people, for whatever reason, I have exited comfort zones many ways, and sometimes I've done it in enormous ways that people look at me like, are you kidding? But that's not for everybody. So this is what I tell people. Take your first step. Maybe it's 10 minutes. Let's say there's something you're interested in, and maybe you're really busy right now, but everybody's got 10 minutes. So think about, what is it that you want to do? What do you want to be? What do you want to explore? If you want to start, get on the internet. Look up the topic you're interested in. Go look up a meetup. Join a meetup of like-minded people. Get yourself in that environment. Start learning the language. Start small. And this is where I want to go. Whenever we're getting out of a comfort zone, it feels very awkward and it could be frightening. And sometimes, do you ever hear of people that they're going to go down and they're divers? You cannot dive from a boat and go, you know, a couple of hundred feet down or whatever the case may be, because you get the bends. Do you ever hear of that? The bends?
Yeah.
Okay. Same happens when you are going up a hill or up a ladder. This is what I tell people. Take your first step, own the first step, own it. And then what happens is that new step becomes your new place. It's your new space. From there, step out in your next step. And everything, they may seem like baby steps, but as long as you're willing to hold on to that ground and then continue incrementally to expand it, then your feeling of exiting the comfort zone is something that you could deal with in the process.
Yeah, that's so interesting to think about it as, you know, divers go slowly to get acclimated at every step,
right?
Or at every depth, I should say. And so the idea of stepping out of your comfort zone is go to step one, own it, then take the second step, own it. I like thinking about it that way. It gives me a little bit more power and confidence as I go versus just jumping off a cliff.
It does. And you know that thing about owning it, when you said that it's a whole body experience, you know, coming out of our comfort zone isn't just intellectual. We literally feel it. Our body reacts. Sometimes we get really anxious, right? We may start sweating. Or how about this one? I was always a hider. Even though I was in management, I made everybody else a star. So I kind of would be that person in the opaque background. But for me to actually step out, it's my name, it's my stuff, it's me on that video. Oh my gosh, it was horror show for me, but it's one step at a time. And the thing is, the more you do it, the more your body, your mind, your emotions, socially, you intellectually, you start to literally envision yourself and feel yourself into the new space, whatever that new space may be.
Yeah, it's funny. I've leapt so many times that I'm more comfortable being awkward and in that uncomfortable space than I am in my comfort zone. That makes me squirmish now, but I had to work my way. That wasn't how it always was. I had to work my way into it. So, Maura, this has been amazing. I can't believe we're out of time. Where can people go to connect with you?
Well, they could go to Command Central. Command Central would be my website. It is my name, Maura, and it's Maura for you. So M as in Mary, A-U-R-A, the number 4, the letter U.com, Maura for you, because I am the world's greatest advocate. Whoever you may be, I am there as an advocate for you. And when they go to Maura for you, they can find everything. I'm there if they ever want to take me in as a speaker, if they need me for consulting. There are my blogs, my books, my e-course, access to my podcast, even my HuffPost blog. And I'm sure there's other things on there too that just escaped me at this point, but it's all there at moraforyou.com.
Perfect. Last question is, what's the one thing people would be surprised to learn about you, whether that's a hobby, a passion, or experience?
It's kind of crazy, but I'm left-handed and I never think like other people do. I can write upside down, and I probably have spent my whole life seeing things backwards and had to train myself how to see things in reverse. But yeah, I could write things upside down. I used to homeschool my daughter. And as much as I can't get you here and around the block, you give me a piece of paper and I'll write you a letter upside down. So there you go.
You know what? I'm a left-handed person as well. And I spent my entire life, like anytime someone would do a sports technique clinic or something, I'd have to translate everything they said in the opposite direction. I just got so used to having to do that.
That's the word. I had to learn how to translate into a world that thinks and operates differently for myself. But because of that, Tamora, and maybe that's why both you and I really do relate, because there's something in a left-handed brain that learns how to be different and translate it to all those other people in the world and translate themselves to everybody else in the world too. We become very interactive that way and very relatable.
Totally. I used to have to stay in detention. They used to try to get me to write right-handed. A while, I could actually write with my right hand because it was forced on me, but it always went back to my left. So, Maura, thank you so much for being on today.
Oh, thank you, too. It's been great. Thanks a lot, Tamara.
Thanks for hanging out with us inside Launch Street. When you're ready to take your game to the next level, join the thousands of others that are upping their innovation edge on GoToLaunchStreet.com, the top online education resource and community platform for innovators looking to use innovation to get measurable results. GoToLaunchStreet.com.